an ego thought is a magic thought. And then he said in the other section, right before that, he says that magic is nothing but an attempt to rely on yourself alone. So the Course in Miracles definition of magic is us attempting to rely on ourselves alone, which it actually defines as the ego. That is what the ego is. The ego is that part of us that tries to rely on itself alone without God.
Okay. And again, what page section?
We're going to be on page 44, section 17 in the teacher's manual.
Oh, deal with magic thoughts.
And so what we're going to do is I'm just going to do the unthinkable, which is we'll read through the section together, and then we'll just come back and discuss it. And where it says magic, I'll either substitute the word ego, or I'll substitute trying to rely on yourself alone. And that'll give it, I feel like that'll give it a lot more power and a lot more meaning. He says, how do God's teachers deal with relying on yourself alone thoughts or ego thoughts? He says, this is a crucial question for both the teacher and the pupil. If this issue is mishandled, and let's be clear that when he says teacher, pupil, he's talking about anybody that we are in relationship with as well as ourselves. We are teachers, we're teachers and pupils. Okay? So he says, this is a crucial question both for the teacher and pupil. If this issue is mishandled, the teacher of God has hurt himself and has also attacked his pupil. This strengthens fear and makes the magic or the ego seem quite real to both of them. Mm-hmm. So how to deal with ego thoughts thus become a major lesson for you to master. I'm going to read it in a way that's more personal. Your first responsibility in this is not to attack somebody else's ego thoughts. If an ego thought arouses anger in any form, you can be sure that you're strengthening your own belief in sin and you have condemned yourself. You can be sure as well that you have asked for depression, pain, fear, and disaster to come to you. So let you remember then that it's not what you would teach because it is not what you would learn. So I'm just going to take each paragraph. Okay, so basically, let's see if we can get the juice. He says, the major lesson for us to learn is not to attack someone else's ego thoughts. Someone else's thoughts about relying on themselves alone, or you can look at it as not to attack anyone else's thoughts that come from the illusion or from the ego. So if you're with somebody and they're not coming from the truth, your first responsibility is not to attack their regular human thoughts.
That's exactly what I did this morning.
Okay, that's what we all do. So that's okay. That's why we can always feel innocent, because I guarantee you that there is simply not one thing that you do that everybody else doesn't do too, you know. There's no way, you know. Okay, so the first thing to do is to not attack the thoughts that other people have that are not reflecting the truth. All right? Then it says, hey.
No.
Then it says, so and begin and really think about how you would apply this to situations and circumstances that you're dealing with in your day-to-day life. So then that means that if somebody else was talking to me and they were saying something to me that was not a reflection of the truth, then from a course perspective, my first responsibility is not to attack it. He says, because if an ego thought... He says, if an ego thought or a fearful thought or an illusory thought, he said, arouses anger in any form, then you can be sure that you're strengthening your own belief in the illusion. And then you're condemning yourself. I was saying that to the group on Sunday, that I always try to remember that the Course says to revolt against a concept is still to believe in the power of it, is still to believe in it. So so if somebody says something to me and they say something about me and then I get upset about it, that's absolute proof that I believe what they say. Mm-hmm. If someone says something to you that's not true about you and you know it's not true about you, it wouldn't affect you at all. So that's how I call it my own personal lie detector test. Because I'll tell myself anything, but my emotions and feelings get me in touch with my beliefs. It's always your feelings that get you in touch with your beliefs more than your thoughts get you in touch with your beliefs. Because thoughts are usually very idealized. They always represent kind of like what we want to believe about ourselves. You know, you talk to the average person, they always say, you know, I'm nice, I'm loving, you know. And but the truth is, how they feel is a much more honest indication of we're on. We're in the teacher's manual, Anna. We're on page 44. We're dealing with how do we deal with magic thoughts? How do we deal with our ego? How do we deal with the thoughts that I want to kick a little butt in the world? You know what I'm saying? How do I deal with my anger thoughts? How do I deal with my magic thoughts? Okay. And so, sure. We're on page 44 in the teacher's manual, paragraph 1. It's the section that's called, and we got a couple extra books over here on the floor if somebody wants to follow along in the books. All right.
So my question is, I probably am going to deny that I would go to anger, but I could disagree with someone's thought, you know, like, or they do something. And so in my mind, am I really still by disagreeing? I mean,
it's not the disagreement.
Yeah.
It's the feeling that you have behind it.
To defend it.
Right.
Like, defend my own.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what he says. If the magic thought arouses anger, and that's the same as saying fear or anxiety or depression, because we're only talking about love or fear.
Yeah.
Right? So if I feel anything less than peace, then I'm strengthening my belief in it. You know, I'm making it real.
Yeah.
Okay. And so he says that then if you make it real, then the next thing the Course says is, well, you can be sure that you ask for depression, pain, fear, and disaster to come to you. Because if you're making it real, then that's what you're going to attract to your own self. Right? And then he says, so all he says in this paragraph is, remember that it's not what you want to demonstrate. That's not what you want to teach. Because he says, I love how the Course defines teaching as demonstrating. Because everybody can say they're teaching. But you're really not dealing with a teacher until you're dealing with a demonstrator. You know, when you're demonstrating it, you know, I don't want somebody trying to teach me how to fly a plane who don't actually know how. Okay? You know what I'm saying? He can go to the internet and he can get a lot of stuff he can teach me. You know what I'm saying? But I want to see the demonstrator. I want to see the guy that can get behind there and take off. You know what I mean? So in my personal life, I don't really, more and more I don't pay attention to words. I found that words are twice removed from reality. You know, people, words mean, you can say you love me. You can say anything. But how much do your actions actually reflect what you're saying? I'm the action person. So I'm glad you're putting that energy out there, and I'm glad that you said something nice that I could focus on. You know, that's beautiful. But in the end, a teacher is a demonstrator. So the Course says then what you want to do is realize that whatever you demonstrate, that's what you are learning. So whatever you teach, that's what you're learning. So the way that you decide what you want to learn is about what you want to demonstrate. Mm-hmm.
Well, when the Course says witness, what is it? To witness.
That means you're demonstrating it. You are my witness if you demonstrate it. You are my witness if you're reflecting it back what's true to me. That's why if I'm a witness to your innocence, then the way that I become a witness to your innocence is through the amount of peace and joy that I have in your presence. Because just by my joy, it makes it impossible for you to feel like you're harming me, that you're guilty, and that you're bad, because I'm experiencing peace in your presence. So I'm witnessing back to you your innocence. So the thing that you could do to most tell people that they're innocent in your life is your own joy. Because then they realize that you're not blaming them for anything. Because if you were blaming them, you wouldn't be joyful. You would be, you know, having a horrible look on your face to let them know how all the stuff that they've done to you. You know what I'm saying? So, again, what do I want to experience has to become the determiner of how I express myself. There are ways I would love for people to express themselves to me, but what I must express is what I want. You know, and I've had that come up a lot lately. You know, it's like, okay, it may look like what's coming back at me is not something that I would prefer to come back at me. How do I deal with that? Well, the way that I deal with that is asking myself, what do I want? Okay, then that's how I'm going to treat you. Which may not be based on how you treat me at all. I'm going to give you what I want because my consciousness is creating my experience, and what I give you is what I'm asking for. And what you give me is what you're asking for. So I don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you. Okay? You know, if I was of the frame of mind that I wanted you to be punished, then the biggest punishment that most people that I know that I think I don't like, the biggest punishment is going to be what they do to themselves. So I don't really have to do anything to them. If a person is full of fear and anger and separation and manipulation and control, then they are going to create that in their reality, and they're going to draw people to them who do that to them. So you don't really have to worry about whether a person is going to receive what they're given. That's just the way it's set up. You know. So I want to give what I want to receive. That's what I got to focus on. Okay. So that first paragraph is telling us then that the main thing to realize is that if we get angry about it, we're strengthening it, and we need to demonstrate what we want to learn. Okay, so I welcome the communication on Wednesday. We have a more intimate group, so it's always cool to try to see how we can apply what's being said to our personal situation. So any questions or any comments about that paragraph before I go to the next paragraph? You got the two basic thoughts of that paragraph. So when we talk about magic, the Course is saying our ego thoughts, our fear thoughts, and it's talking about a temptation to rely on yourself alone. He says magic is always an attempt to leave God out. I'm going to leave the higher power out. I'm going to do it on my own. The Course calls that magic. You know why it's magic? Because it's not accomplishing anything. You know, it's not. You know, it looks like it's happening, but it's not really happening. Just like a magician. It looks like it's you pull a rabbit out the hat, but you know the hat, you know, did something else. So, unless he's a Chris Angel. But Chris Angel didn't really happen. Chris Angel did it, then it really happened. Well, Chris Angel is a master who's pretending that he's a magician to do outrageous things, and people that think he's doing a trick.
That's brilliant.
All you have to do is watch it. You realize that what he does is impossible to do unless you do it.
Wow.
You know. Unless you're doing it, you know. If somebody stands right in front of you and you're standing outside and they float 10 feet up in the air, then they got to be floating 10 feet up in the air, because you know, doggone where you don't see a helicopter track, you don't see a lion coming down from the sky. I don't know how to do it, but they're doing it. You know. We have so much more potential than we realize. That's our biggest challenge, is our limited conception of ourselves. So you'll find that you're going to do the same thing. As you awaken more, you're going to be doing non-ordinary things in ordinary ways, and you're not going to be trying to attract a lot of attention to yourself, and you're going to be trying to seem as ordinary as you possibly can. The surefire sign that a person doesn't know is that they're trying to stick out.
Look at me.
It's all about me. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. Like I always say, you know, which flower is going to get picked in the garden first?
Which one?
The one that's the most special and the one that's sticking out. So there goes the beautiful one to the base. And the rest of it, average, is going. You know, because they, you know, what's average anyway?
Yeah,
you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, you know. So I can think that I'm beautiful regardless of what anybody else thinks about me.
You don't want to be too beautiful to an ego.
No, you don't want to be too beautiful to an ego. You don't want everybody that's crazy to be attracted to you. And that's exactly what happens to a quote-unquote attractive person.
Or a famous person.
Or a famous person, is that they're continually attracting the attention of people who want to get something from them.
Right.
All the time. Just because of what they think they have. And that's funny how that's what so many people seek for. Is just that. Mm-hmm. What's up, brother? Okay, so here's the next paragraph. He says, there is, however, a temptation to respond to magic or the ego or what? The temptation to rely on yourself alone in a way that reinforces just trying to rely on yourself alone. Nor is this always obvious. It can, in fact, be easily concealed beneath a wish to help. It's this wish to help. A double wish. I want to help you and I'm wishing. To help you. It's this double wish that makes the help of little value. In other words, if I'm starving and you want to feed me, you're not really helping me.
Makes it worse.
You're really helping me if you give me a meal. The wish to help isn't doing nothing for me. The help is.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? All of us, I wish to be this and I wish to be that, you know.
And the wish is really reinforcing lack anyway, isn't it?
I don't know what is necessary to reinforce and lag, but I know I'm not getting that meal I need. You know what I'm saying? It's like the wish to help. It's good to set that goal, but then and again, what is the reality of it? You know, is it just something that you're wishing for, or is it something that you're really actually doing? And that's what makes the difference. And so the Course says it's this double wish that makes the help of little value and must lead to undesired outcomes. Nor should it be forgotten that the outcome that results will always come to you and the other person alike. That's teacher and pupil. How many times has it been emphasized that you give but to yourself? You're only giving to yourself. 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 You are only giving to yourself. You're only giving to yourself. You are only giving to yourself. You're 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 only giving to yourself. And I'm only giving to myself. So when we come together, I use you to give to myself. You use me to give to yourself. So whatever you're giving me is really what you're giving to yourself. And whatever I give you is what I'm giving to myself. It just looks like we're giving to each other, but we only give to ourselves. Because what I give is what's going to come to me. What you give is what you create more of in your life. So it's an illusion to think you're giving to anybody else. Plus, there is nobody else. So then you're not giving to anybody else anyway. Because if we're all one, there is nobody else. Okay? There is nobody else. That's what we're going to ultimately learn. There is nobody else. There is nobody else. Like people say, well, why was I born in the physical body? Well, you were born into a physical body so that you could see the manifestation of yourself in the physical form. You get a chance to see who you are being manifested in the physical form. And as long as you think who you're looking at is somebody else, that's how long your illusion will persist that causes you pain. And that's the lesson to learn, because we keep looking for our body's eyes to reflect back to us that we're one, and our body's eyes won't. Our body's eyes are going to only see differences because they were made to see differences. So the awareness of our oneness comes from our recognition of the truth, not our perception. You know, I have to just know you all are one with me. Whether you act like it or not, whether I act like it or not, I just have to live with that awareness. But if I look at it like I got to see you all as the same as me in a physical form, then I'm just going to delay myself, because my body's eyes are going to continue to see you as different people sitting in the room. I have to know that what you are really an expression of myself in physical form for me to look at. Another expression of the one self that we all share. That's the truth. The rest of it is all the stuff we do to make ourselves forget it. You know. You know, which is, we're pretty good at, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we're pretty good for getting our oneness. Mm-hmm. That's pretty easy to forget.
We got that down.
We got that down. You don't have to worry about that. I can be mad at you about what I think you did to me. No problem. So, the Court says, now, where could this better be shown that you give but to yourself than the kinds of help that you give to those who need your aid? Here is your gift most clearly given to you. For you will give only what you chose. This is really cool. He says, you will only give what you've chosen for yourself. So I only give people what I've chosen to receive. So I'm really treating people the way I want to be treated. So that's why that whole thing about doing to others as you're doing to yourself is not too cool when you don't love yourself.
That's right.
Because you're going to do unto others. Yeah, I wish most people wouldn't treat me the way they treat themselves. I say, well, y'all break the rule with me. You know, treat me the way you don't treat yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because most people are trying to be kinder to others and think that they're thinking more about others and won't be as hard on others as they are on themselves, especially on the spiritual path. They're kind of like, stop trying to judge other people so much and just start putting all the blame on themselves. And that's exactly the same thing. So, and if you're putting yourself down, then you don't believe in yourself and you don't believe in your value, then you're going to give things that's going to increase the idea that you're not valuable. So I'm going to treat people in such a way that the way that I'm treated back makes me feel like I'm not valued. So people who don't love themselves cannot respond to love. The kinder you are to them, the less interested they are in you. The nicer you are, the less they want to be around you, because you're treating them in a way that they don't think they deserve to be treated. So then they are attracted to the people who abuse them. And that's the one, you know, we've all had that experience. Being in a relationship with somebody that we know we were not experiencing real gentle treatment with, but for some reason we just felt like we couldn't get away from them. You know, I don't know why, but I just can't get away from this person. And the reason why is because you identify with them, with that person. That person at a subconscious level, that person is giving you what you believe you deserve. And that's why you can't leave them. You can't leave yourself. So the nice people become friends, and the people who give you hell become lovers.
I have to go now. Remember.
Yeah, so you got something to do.
Yeah.
And I want to take this time to thank you, Anna, so much for doing the classes for me when I was out of town. Just a treasure. Yeah.
You have a wonderful group. It's a pleasure.
By all means, I hope y'all check out Anna's classes and workshops that she does on the course. We've known each other over 20 years. And it's been quite a journey.
Yes,
it has, yeah. But she never lets me forget who I am. That's what I love about her.
Thank you.
You know. And that's your savior. Yeah. The people who won't let you forget that you deserve love. Okay. Those are your saviors. Yeah. You know. The ones who remind you of how guilty you are all the time, those are crucifiers. And I know sometimes they look good.
Yeah.
I know that sometimes the crucified they just turn you on, so you know.
Yeah.
But you have
they
to,
have
you
to
have, you have
good.
To make it. They have to. You have to make you overlook all the rest of the stuff. They got to be giving you some of your ego life to even overlook the other stuff.
Yeah, I work out every day for that.
Mm-hmm.
The leather.
Okay.
That's another class.
I'm surrounded by the leather of God. I know that lesson. That's lesson 394. All the whippings I give to myself.
I am innocent.
You are innocent. Yes, that's right. Whatever you do, don't lose your sense of humor on the spiritual path. It'll be so hard. You know, I try to make sure I don't leave that behind. You know, so the Course says you can only give what you've chosen for yourself, and in this gift is your judgment upon the Holy Son of God. So what I give to you is my judgment on me and you. What I give you is my judgment on me and you. Any thoughts about that paragraph before we go to the next one? And all this is practical. Very, very practical. Like when people say the Course is abstract, they're not hearing, they're not listening.
I like the reminder of to really question my wish to help somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I like that reminder.
Yeah.
You know, check it out.
Why?
Yeah, why do you wish to help somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes it's concealing something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
I like that when he says consciously selected miracles can be misguided.
I know that there's been times when people were trying to help me, and it really felt like it was reinforcing my guilt more than, you know.
Or it made the situation worse.
Exactly, exactly.
Sometimes what people think of as help is not.
Right. Most of the time.
Most of the people who you've helped the most, you probably don't even know you
helped
them.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And people who've helped me the most, they didn't know me.
Right, and some of the people that you thought you helped in therapy because of that.
You're there because of my help.
Yeah. As a result, thank you so much for your help, you know. Let me tell you what's wrong with you. I'm going to help you out. Let me tell you what's wrong with you. Did you have your hand up?
So when you feel compelled to give someone advice or, I mean, what? How do you not do that? I mean, and why would you do it? I guess I'm asking, why would you do it?
Well, I think it's just a matter of taking a second and asking yourself what your purpose is. You know, because in the end, that's what's going to be the meaning of the situation, is why. Mm-hmm. Why are you doing it? What is it for? You know.
Well, if someone's seeming really, to be really depressed and kind of looking for an answer.
Well, always keep in mind that even if you felt compelled to do it anyway, it still doesn't change your innocence as a child of God nor the innocence as a child of God. So it's not about, well, if I do it, you know, is something going to happen really bad if I do it? But it's just that you don't really know what's best for that person.
Right.
You don't really know. You know, sometimes things seem to be very harsh situations and conditions. For some people, have been the very thing that turned them around and made them take their life in a brand new direction, right? So it's really my judgment of the situation that's determining my response. So again, I'll go back to the original premise. Do what you would want.
Right.
You know, if you think you would want that, then give it. If you think you wouldn't want that, then don't give it. Because anyway it goes, God is in charge, and so you can't screw it up no matter how hard you try. You know, but you could increase your own belief in illusion. You know, that's the thing that the Course is saying. You don't want to strengthen your, because like I said, you're getting upset about it, right? We were saying earlier that when it arouses anger or upset, you're just strengthening your belief. So the fact that you're so upset about it is actually you strengthening your own belief in pain and fear. And if it's really something for you to do, Spirit will tell you what to do, and you wouldn't even ask that question. You know what I'm saying? You would have already done it.
I have this habit, you know, of sometimes wanting people to join me in seeing myself as pitiful.
That's what we call relationships. And you can, we're trying to change it around to I want you to join with you to see my strength.
Exactly.
So don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-relationship. Everything that's real comes in relationship. I'm just saying let's start choosing for the types of relationships that strengthen the truth of us instead of choosing the relationships that strengthen the illusion in us. And so most people do want people to join in the suffering with them, and they see the joining in the suffering as sympathy and empathy and caring. But what you're really doing is just making the situation realer for both of you. What they really need is somebody not to share their perception of themselves. They need somebody to not go into agreement with what they're telling themselves. Not to somebody go, oh, you're so right. You are mistreated by everybody. So, you know, like, now we got two incredible, powerful beings coming together, sharing one idea equally that's related to pain, and then you just create more for yourself and the other person, too. Compassion is cool. Empathy in joining in the suffering isn't. I'm not saying don't be compassionate. I'm just saying that from the Course perspective, your responsibility is to remember that they're not their stuff. That they're not, they are not what they're going through. They may feel it, they may be appearing to go, because, you know, as long as we don't practice the truth, as long as we don't know our relationship to Source, as long as we think we're separate from each other, we're going to suffer. And people don't realize that the suffering is coming from the core idea of thinking we're separate. They think the suffering is coming from not making some correct, insane arrangement with the world. You know, it's like, evidently I'm not doing something in the world right, or I wouldn't be suffering. They don't realize that the suffering originates from a sense of separation from love and God. That's the dilemma of the world today. You know, we think we're suffering about because of things that's not the core reason behind the suffering. So everybody's trying to fix the outer effect or form without getting to the underlying cause, which is separation.
I just had a discussion with someone who I've known forever, and he's really into this political thing, and he's like, every time I talk to him, he's like angry.
Mm-hmm.
He's angry that, mm-hmm. you know, the politicians are ruining our country, mm-hmm. and the Constitution isn't me. And I'm going, why don't you get away from all of that and just go for peace? Just, you know. And I think that would do more to help. Well, you're not staying informed, and you don't know what's going on. And I'm going, I don't think I want to know about that stuff.
And that's cool.
It's all about
following what you feel like you must do in your heart.
Yes, yeah,
I go through periods where I like to check out the news, and I like to check out the games that are being played by all parts of my insane mind.
Yeah.
And sometimes I go through periods where I don't want to deal with it at all. So it just goes according. I don't have a hard and dry rule about any of it.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I go through periods where I watch evening news on all three channels and the local news on all three channels, and I see it as an opportunity to re-perceive everything, and an opportunity to look at it another way, and also an opportunity to practice not being emotionally involved with the illusions of the world while remembering the truth about it. Because if I freak out about something that's happening to somebody I don't know, I know how I'm going to handle the stuff that does matter to me. So it kind of gets me in touch with how I would handle my own illusions as they arise. You know what I'm saying? If I'm freaking out about, let's say, a movie that I'm looking at about zombies, which I ought to have sense enough to know those are actors in makeup and nobody dies and they all go partying that night. Right? But if I'm freaking out about it, then again, it's letting me know how real I can make the illusion. And so now I know how real I would make the thing that wasn't the illusion, which means all this stuff I'm saying about, oh, it's just an illusion and I can see it beyond that and I wouldn't lose. That's a bunch of crunk. If I can't can't look at a movie without freaking out, I certainly am not going to be able to deal with the things showing up in my physical reality without freaking out. I don't care what I tell myself, because again, what I'm perceiving gets me in touch with my emotions and my feelings about things. And that's what the ego doesn't like. The ego doesn't like how easy it is for you to tell when you're fooling yourself. It's really easy to tell. Now, I'm not saying everybody should go out and watch violent movies. No. I'm saying that if you're seeing it correctly, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter if you saw one. It wouldn't matter if you didn't. Because you'd know it wasn't real. So you wouldn't get upset about it. And so I can tell a lot about my programming by how I'm reacting to my experience. And that's what it's for, to get us in touch with our beliefs, so that we can choose some new ones. You know, we're in a cool place for waking up. If you're serious about waking up, we're in the best place in the world to wake up. You want to practice loving, you're in the best place you could ever be, because there's so many opportunities and there's such a need for it. You know, if you want to practice learning to be patient, there's a lot of things here to learn to be patient about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if you really want to become enlightened, you are so blessed to be in Earth School. Earth School gives you endless opportunities to forgive. It gives you endless opportunities to look at things a new way. It's a great place for awakening if you really want to wake up. It's a challenge if it's just about your fantasies. And let's face it, for most people, it's just about their fantasies. And what does that mean? It's just about my scripts. Why am I mad? You're not acting out my script. My fantasy. And that's why you're here, by the way. You're in my life to make me happy. And I'm going to tell you how to do it. And I'm going to get mad when you don't. And I love you. With all my heart and soul. You know. I love you unconditionally. Yeah, I love you unconditionally as long as you act right. Don't ever forget that. You can count on me. As long as you act right. And it's cold when people just out and out say that, but that's the truth. That is the truth. That's what I like. It's when I fool myself that I get hurt. I don't know about y'all, but I've always noticed that my pain comes from self-deception. Mm-hmm. It's about the things I fool myself about, mm-hmm, that I go through pain. Yeah. And it can be as simple as I fool myself about the length of the step and I tripped over and sprained my ankle. Or it can be, I fooled myself about the way you felt about me. But it's always I fooled myself about how long I had to get through the intersection. And I had a car accident. You see what I'm saying? It's like, it's always some form of self-deception behind any form of pain. So pain is our way of knowing we're lying or fooling ourselves about something. Now, I can take some medication to get rid of the pain, but it still hasn't gotten in touch with the root cause of the pain. And that's what we do. We try to get rid of the pain without ever dealing with the cause. And so the pain just changes form. And it comes back to us another way. You know. Okay, cool. All right, let's see what the next easy little paragraph is that we're going to hear. It's easiest to let error be corrected where it's most apparent. And errors can be recognized by their results. So that means a lesson truly taught can lead to nothing but release for you and the other person who shared in one intent. Attack can enter only if perception of separate goals has entered. Each one of those is like a spiritual law. Attack can enter only if the perception of separate goals has entered. And separate goals entering must indeed have been the case if the result is anything but joy. So where there is no joy, there is a separate goal. There's no way the two of us really want peace together, and we really want peace together, and peace is our number one goal together, and we wouldn't have peace together. If we really share that intent, and we want peace more than our script, if we're willing to let the form of the relationship be the form that is most conducive to peace, because we want peace, we'd have peace. But if I have a separate goal, which is I got to have it my way to the exclusion of your joy, and you got to have it your way to the exclusion of my joy, then we got a separate intent, and we're going to have a problem with each other. And that's what happens in relationships. the average person to say, I really want to have joy in my relationship. But the truth is, they have a separate goal with each other because they both decided how it should happen, and their peace with each other isn't their number one goal. Having it the way they want it is their number one goal, regardless of how the other person might feel about it. And then, so there's no joy. Whew! He says, the single aim of the teacher turns the divided goal of the pupil into one direction, with the call for help being his one appeal. This call for help, then, is easily responded to with just one answer, and this answer will enter your mind unfailingly, and from there the answer will shine into the other person's mind, making your mind one with theirs. So, whatever you're saying to me, what it really is a call for love. Mm-hmm. It's really a call for help, and that's what I got to see, and that's what I need to respond to, and not the words you use in making your call. And that's the hardest part mm-hmm. about this freaking path. Because I have a tendency to get caught up in the words mm-hmm. of the call mm-hmm. and not the call. You know what I'm saying? Like if you say, please help me, I need your help so bad. I just need to know I'm loved, you know. And I go, okay, you're a loving person. But if the person says, you stupid girl, I blame you for everything I'm going through. If it wasn't for you, I'd have a happy life. It's all your fault. See, now then I'm getting defensive, right? That's my test because I'm getting caught up in the form the call came in, so I'm not realizing that that person that's going off on me is as much calling for my help and love as the person that's saying, oh, would you please help me? So I answer calls for love based on how much I like the way you called it. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Yes.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Yeah. The form of the call supersedes the call.
Yes.
And so at the point that I'm really enlightened would be me not being fooled by the form the call comes in. So the murderer is making the call, and the person is standing on the corner saying, please give me some food to feed my family, is making the call. When I wake up, I realize it's my call. Mm-hmm. That all of it is my call. That's the level that's coming with the help of God. Mm-hmm. Not me on my own trying to do it. I don't try to love people on my own no more. I don't try to do anything with people on my own anymore. I don't try to figure out what a person needs anymore. My whole attitude about help is so different from the way it was when I first got on the path. You know, it's about me learning how to listen to guidance and how to follow guidance, and not how quick I can come up with my own brilliant Earl Purdy ideas about how everything should be handled. You know, which I used to think enlightenment was. Enlightenment was me getting to the point that I knew everything about myself on my own. And I didn't need nobody else. Now I'm a master. Mm-hmm. Now I'm a fool. That's what I've really become. Because now I've isolated myself from the source and not listening to any guidance because I think I know. Mm-hmm. That's the person that's really got a call for love. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anybody else? Any thoughts about paragraph 3? And, you know, because you have the truth in you, too, and I'd welcome to hear what your voice for God says to you.
I think my voice for God is telling me to just let people that are asleep be asleep. Just leave them alone.
And what about the people you meet that want to wake up?
I'm just going to allow them to wake up whenever they want to go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm. So you sound like you want peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do.
Okay. So that's the way a person talks that wants peace. There's an old saying I used to hear a lot when I was a kid that said, let sleeping dogs lie. Mm-hmm. I know that meant that's kind of, let sleeping, what's that mean? If I was in somebody's backyard and there was a very big dog there, and it was asleep, I'd let it lie. I wouldn't go over there and shake it and say, let me wake you up.
Well, I mean, like, I had an opportunity to do a eulogy this mm-hmm. weekend for mm-hmm. one of my best friends. And, I could just tell that nobody could hear me. Like, uh-huh. everybody who was going up there was going for their ego. Mm-hmm. Like, people that didn't even know this woman. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, okay, I'm going to sit here and know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit here and know, like, mm-hmm. the relationship I had. And it's not for my ego. Mm-hmm. And it's not for, like, none of these people could hear me. Mm-hmm. Like, they wanted to be in their pain mm-hmm. and punishment and whatever, so... I just cried silently in my chair And I thought it was the best thing to do.
You know what the real gift of that to me? Whether that was the right thing or the wrong thing to do wouldn't be the issue. It would be the fact that you listened to yourself. And now I'm trying to learn how to use it to my advantage. I used to use it to deceive myself. Now I'm using it to recognize my essential oneness and spirituality, which is great. All right. Perhaps it would be helpful to remember that I like this, one of my favorite little lines in the course. No one can be angry at a fact. If it's a fact, why am I, it's like I came back from off my vacation and looked like they had misplaced 2 weeks worth of mail. And the first thing was like, I wanted to get angry, and so I felt my feelings. I try not to be in denial about my feelings. I didn't like that. First, my idealized self told me that, you're spirit to teach us all, you're never supposed to get upset about the teaching and something sneaky. You do. You're really not perfect to sneak up the way you know you should. That's your idealized ego. Watch out for it. It's the most vicious one of all. It's the one that always condemns you for not living up to some ideal that you think you should, that you made up for yourself. That's the ego, too. Okay? And so now I've learned through the course to feel my feelings first. Go ahead and feel all my feelings about that. I didn't like it. At least I decided I didn't like the way I felt. So I hope I was wrong about it. I wanted another way to look at it. I asked for another way to look at it. And then I was given another way to look at it. Which is, in that situation it was, there's no point in being angry at a fact. You beating yourself up about the mail is not going to bring the mail back. Fact is, the mail isn't here right now. How is beating you up, especially since the people in the post office don't care? You know what I'm saying? Not in the sense that they want to have my mail, but they're going on to other things. That's why I begin to realize, that why would beating myself up about it somehow make the situation better? It seemed like to me it would have been better to beat them up about it.
Yeah.
Because that's what the ego said. At least you get the satisfaction of beating them up because they lost your mail. But the truth of it is, it's a fact. And as soon as I could go to the place where there's no sense in being upset about a fact, and then calmly went about trying to see how I could get this situation solved, and then decided that, according to the Course, whatever it is I need to know, the Holy Spirit would let me know. Which means if there was anything in that mail that I needed to know, that's where I apply the truth to everything. That to me, at a practical level, it meant if there was anything I needed to be aware of, I would still be made aware of it, whether I had the mail or not. Okay, so I had to go to that place. Soon as I went to that place in my heart, then I wake up the next morning, I get a call from the post office saying, we got your mail, they'll be delivering it today. You see what I mean? See, it's like when I could go to a change of mind, the answer happened.
Letting go?
Yeah, what's the form of letting go? I had decided I was going to have peace whether the mail came back or not. Mm-hmm. That was the change of consciousness, was the not being willing to give my peace up regardless. It's the change of consciousness. Where the average person would think your peace would come from getting your mail. And that's the error. Average person says, I feel bad because I didn't get my mail. Now I have my mail, so therefore I am at peace with God. Okay, that's the ego, because then it's making your peace be based on some sort of an insane arrangement with the outer world. And whenever you do that, you can always be rest assured that's your ego. Okay, and there's nothing wrong with wanting things to be cool for you in the world. So don't get me wrong. But if I give my peace up because it's not, then I'm in error thought, and I'm convincing myself that my happiness doesn't come from within; that it comes from without. Okay, so it was great they called me up and told me they found my mail. Earl had decided to give himself peace if they never found his mail. That's you see the difference? And so I try to practice it with mail, so that hopefully if it's something more than mail, I can kind of get there, because we know we got different levels of value for different things, and the more special something is to you, the harder it is for you to take that attitude. That's why in relationships that are the most special, it's hardest for us to be okay with what's going on, because it's so special, because it so represents my value to me, because I've given so much of my power to it, So, any questions? It says, it is always an interpretation that gives rise to negative emotions. Another rule. It's always your interpretation that gives rise to negative emotions. He says, regardless of the emotion seeming justification by what appears as fact. In other words, it's like, let's take a practical real world situation. It looked like they lost my mail. It was my interpretation of them losing my mail that made me feel upset, right? Regardless of what appeared to be my justification. Well, the fact is, they lost my mail. Okay? He says, but I still need to understand it wasn't them losing my mail that was giving me the negative emotion. It was my interpretation of them losing my mail that was giving me the negative emotions. And he says, regardless of the intensity of the anger that is aroused, I don't care how mad you are about what it looks like somebody's done, it's not what they've done that's making you mad, it's your interpretation of what they've done that's making you mad. He says it could just be slight irritation, perhaps too mild to be even clearly recognized. Just a little irritated with them. He says, oh, it may take the form of intense rage, accompanied by thoughts of violence.
Or
fantasize. I'll just imagine blowing up the post office. Or apparently act it out. There's a bomb in the post office. It's a bomb in the post office. He says, it doesn't matter. All of these reactions are the same. How? It looks like a little irritation is different from out and out murder. So how could they be the same? He says, because both of those reactions are what? Obscuring the truth. And he says, and that can never be a matter of degree. Either I'm seeing the truth in this situation or I'm not.
Man, I love that.
Isn't that great? Either truth is apparent or it's not. But he says you can't partially recognize the truth. And if you're unaware of the truth, you must look upon illusions. If I'm unaware of the love between us, I'm going to see the separation and fear between us. If I'm unaware of the peace between us, I'm going to see the upset. He says you're either going to see one or the other, but don't forget, it's your interpretation that's giving you the feeling that you're having right now, which means you could give yourself or be given a new interpretation that would give you a new emotional response that could be a happy one. See, that's what I like about that statement. It's like, oh, okay, I'm upset. That's me giving myself an interpretation that's making me mad. But the power is, if I could give myself a new interpretation, I could give myself a new emotional reaction. So that makes me feel that it could be possible one day that I could have really good feelings all the time. Why? Because I could consistently give myself correct interpretations all the time. And so all of a sudden, the idea of being peaceful all the time doesn't seem like some abstract idea. It seems possible. If it's an interpretation, then it's possible. You see what I mean? If it's not based on the outer, but my interpretation, that whole stuff about being in joy all the time, that I used to think was kind of like ridiculous. Why? Because I was basing it on external changes. But if I go, oh, it's an interpretation, well, I need some new interpretation. Hello? That's what this whole book is. It's nothing but a book that gives you new ways to look at. And that's what all truth teachings do, actually. No matter what your spiritual path, all it's really doing is telling you new ways to look at what you're going through. And then you're looking for the path that makes you want to do it. The Course made me want to do it. It wasn't the first book that I read that said a lot of this stuff. But for some reason, The Course in Miracles, I wanted to do it. But the rest of them, I just read them and put them on the bookshelf and went and got the next latest book. You know what I mean? And I know you've probably been that way, and you've seen friends that are like that on the path. Every week, they got a brand new thing they present you with that you need to read, you need to study, the latest workshop, the latest this, the latest that. They've fallen in love with the recipes. But they haven't, they got a room, so they call it their library. It's a room full of recipes. But they haven't started cooking they haven't taken one pan out the cabinet, but they're telling you the latest recipe for happiness. Mm-hmm. And then at some point you go, you know what? I like this recipe. I'm going to bake this cake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what just happened with the course. It's like, okay, this recipe, I think I can do this. One, let's see, 1 teaspoon of not strengthening my fear by making it real, a couple of tablespoons of I'm giving it only to myself. Let me get another little measuring of, we need to share one goal. Mm-hmm. Then I'm going to have a happy cake. Yeah, I'm going to have a happy cake. All right? I'm going to have a sound yummy. And of course, it's chocolate. It's a chocolate happy cake. White
we're going to do the love offering. Thank you for your givings to yourself.
And we're going to have our... we are sustained by God's love for us and not our love for God. You know. So thank you for sharing. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, it was the most intense experience I've ever had in my life. Yes. Yes, I had an opportunity to experience with my son, him going through literally a life and death situation. Wow. And so it was a complete test of all of my faith and my belief in everything that I'm teaching you all and teaching myself. Wow. And I'll be processing it for weeks, you know, because I journal and it was intense.
So he's okay?
He's doing well. He's really moving back in this direction in a real positive way because of his, I found, because he also had incredible levels of spiritual faith in himself. So, but it was still, looking at that thing right in the face. You know, and so I learned a lot about me, and learned a lot about him, and we learned a lot about each other. And I went through that in detail this past Sunday in terms of how that relates to what we're learning. And it was one of the most powerful classes that I had for me. Was the one I did Sunday,
because I needed.
Yeah, I didn't intend to even get into it. It was like it was one of those things where spirit took over and said, well, you know, everybody could benefit through this, you know, so share, you know. And it was so healing for me to do that. So I come back with tremendous appreciation, you know, appreciating you all more than you could ever imagine, because it was because of what's been built up here with you that I was able to stay awake, you know. Because when you deal with family, that's when you get a chance to see everything about what you believe and what you feel.
Yep.
You, I mean, they know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know. They know the buttons. They're old.
They may not know the buttons in Denver, but we know the buttons. We're gonna play. You know, and what was so cool was to see how much the truth had permeated every area of my consciousness, because it was reflected back to me through everybody, including my family, in a way that I would have never dreamed of, as well as dealing with very challenging things. But what I saw was that the Course was telling me the truth. I only had to accept the truth for myself, because I was watching people literally say back to me things that I had said in this class many times, who I never had that kind of conversation with at all. Which so it was my own change of mind coming back to me through people around me. So that whole idea that you need to talk to people in order to get the change is a total deception. That's the way you slow yourself down. The more you can accept this for you, regardless of how the people around you feel about it, the faster you'll see your whole experience transform. And it's the easiest way to get your whole experience to transform, because if I got to get your agreement about every phase of my development, it's going to slow me down. If I have to get everybody to agree with me, then it's going to slow me down. But if I go, you know what, I've accepted today that there's no point in getting angry at a fact, and I just need to accept it for myself, not the people at the post office, the mail still showed up. You see what I mean? And if it hadn't, I still didn't have to get angry at that fact. See, so it really was about me accepting the truth for myself. And so whenever you get into other people, like just like what you were saying about, what about somebody else and I really want to help them? Mm-hmm. It's okay to tell spirit you're willing to be used to bless other people. But just don't forget that the same spirit that's guiding you is also in them. Mm-hmm. It's not like you got it and they don't have it, or if you don't give it to them, they're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. It's not set up that way. If you don't want to do it, but it's needed, then it'll come to them through somebody else. You cannot deny somebody the good that they believe that they deserve. Isn't that great? Wow. That, you know, you can't do it. You're not showing up ain't going to stop Earl's good from showing up. You know, if Earl accepts, he deserves it. That's the key. Earl accepts God's grace. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to pay for it. If it's real, it's a gift. That's the cool part. So, did somebody have a hand up? Okay. Everybody ready to go out into the lab? Mm-hmm. You ready? You know what's waiting for you now. You know, it's out there waiting to see if you're going to practice anything. So, if all else fails, this is what you do. Practice silence. If all else fails, what should I do? What should I say? I need to do nothing. You just got it? If all else fails, if you can pull it off, go into silence.
Yeah.
And then talk after you had a period of silence. Because that little few seconds might be all you need to hear another way of dealing with that, so that you won't say something, do something you'll regret later. Mm-hmm. You know, don't hesitate to get in your car and drive off before you go off on somebody. Even if they're saying you're running away from the situation and you're not trying not to deal with it. No, I'm trying to kill you. You need to let me go. That would be the best thing in the world. You should be glad to see my car leaving the driveway right now. You know. Yes, you think I'm running away. No, I'm trying to save your life. You know. Y'all know that I'm right. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just get away for a minute. And gather your keys and then come back. Was there anything you wanted to say, Dave?
No, I just wanted to hear about your trip.
Oh, okay. Well, it's like I went through that whole thing, but it was very powerful. It was very powerful. So, I love you. Appreciate you. And I'll see you. I promise you I'll see you the next time I see you. You can count on it.